pleasure to welcome back to the program John Lott, who is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author, well, one of the books he's great books he's written, More Guns, Less Crime. You see him frequently on Fox News, and he has a brand new book called Dumbing Down the Courts, How Politics Keep the Smartest Judges Off the Bench. John, good to have you back.
Great to talk to you, Lars.
Hey, tell me this. The good guys with the guns. I've always used the argument that more good guys with guns are going to stop the bad guys with the guns. Is there new statistical evidence to back this up?
Well, I mean, there are studies that are coming out all the time by academics. Overwhelmingly, they show that when you allow citizens to carry permanently concealed handguns, you see drops in violent crimes. And, you know, the easy thing to go and look at is just how incredibly law-abiding these citizens are themselves. I mean, that's something that really, except for some place like the Violence Policy Center or the New York Times today, it's pretty overwhelming that you just look at it, and these people have problems at a fraction of the rate that even off-duty police officers get arrested for crimes.
Well, what about this New York Times report? They say there should be no disputing the hard facts in a new report on gunshot fatalities, showing that at least 722 non-self-defense deaths since 2007 were attributable to individuals with legal permits to carry concealed weapons. What conclusion are they drawing from that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I keep on trying to write about this, but the Violence Policy Center puts it out in the Associated Press, and now the New York Times keeps repeating. I'll just give you one example. 217 of these 700 and some deaths are from suicide, supposedly, in the state of Michigan. The thing is, if you actually read the report, it's not saying that these guys committed suicide with a gun or let alone a permanent concealed handgun. It just says you have permit holders who committed suicide over this 8-year period of time. The thing is, the rate that permit holders commit suicide is about 2/3 of the rate that the general population commits suicides. So, I mean, it's not like you expect that, you know, when you have hundreds of thousands of people having a permit, that people aren't just going to commit suicide every once in a while. But it's, you know, why not point out that these people are committing a suicide rate that's lower than the general population? It's somehow they're implying that if they didn't have concealed handgun permits, that these suicides wouldn't have occurred, and they don't even bother finding out whether or not they used, or pointing out that these numbers don't even break out whether they used a handgun or a permanent concealed handgun to go and commit the suicide.
So, in other words, these could have been suicides by pills or suicides by automobile or suicides by hanging. And just the fact that the person owned a gun or had a concealed carry permit is tied into their suicide, whether a gun was involved in the suicide or not.
Right. They just say, look, we know that permit holders commit suicide. And that in the state of Michigan, what they do is they go, they have a list of permit holders, they have the annual list of people who commit suicides, and they just say, of permit holders, this is the number of suicides. That's the number that is reported, and that's the number that the Violence Policy Center just adds up. But, you know, as I say, I think the bottom line also is not only don't they look at whether they even use guns to commit these suicides, but they don't even note that these people are committing suicides at a lower rate for their same age groups than people who weren't permit holders in the state of Michigan. But, you know,
I mean, it almost sounds...
Some of these numbers...
Go ahead.
Some of these numbers, they triple count, maybe even four times count. I mean, I'll give you an example. The state of Michigan police reports that the Violence Policy Center cites lists pending cases, convictions, and then what they do is they go out and they look at news stories. So you have a news story when somebody's been charged. It's listed in the report as a pending case, so it's counted twice there. And a small number of those result in conviction. So some of those are counted three times. Some of the cases are pending over multiple years because they're not taken care of right away. So you may have a case that's pending over 4 years. And so not only did they count it when they originally did the news report, but then it's counted as four other murders because it's pending for 4 more years before it finally goes to trial, or 3 years. So they, and then if the person just happens to be convicted, then it's counted as one more case.
Well, but John, how is it?
Cases,
John, you've been in academics for a long time. Usually when somebody publishes a paper in a peer-reviewed journal, this kind of stuff gets caught, doesn't it? Shouldn't these kinds of errors?
The Violence Policy Center is a hack anti-gun group that puts this stuff together. I've been pointing out these errors at him multiple times. I go in the third edition of More Guns, Less Crime. I have a discussion of written pieces for Fox News, National Review Online, others going through and pointing out these errors. I'll tell you, they include cases where somebody is convicted of carrying a concealed handgun as examples of people with permits. Well, you can't be convicted of carrying a concealed handgun if you have a permit. These people who are being convicted are criminals who didn't have a permit that's there. You know, and it's just, there's so many cases where they just can't even seem to read the articles correctly that's there. And so, you know, but let's say their numbers are right. Okay, let's say you have these 700 cases over these 8 years. You have... we have over 12 million concealed carry permit holders right now in the United States.
Right.
Even if it's true,
I'm one of them.
It's not remotely true. And even if you want to count these suicides and everything else that's there, it's still an incredibly low rate that they'd be implying in terms of murders. I haven't done the updated numbers yet, but you're talking about a fraction of, you know, the rate of murders generally in the population. But look, there's no way anybody should take any of this stuff seriously. You'll have cases in there where it was a legitimate self-defense. If you, Lars, were to go out and have to shoot somebody publicly and the person was really threatening you, the police would arrest you. And that's going to be listed as, you know, there's going to be a news story on it. If the charges get dropped, there's unlikely to be another news story on it, but it's going to be counted in the violence policy numbers because there's a news story. And then it may be listed for a year or a part of a year as a pending case in the Michigan reports that are there. And maybe once in a while they may try to take it to trial, so it may be listed as a pending case for 2 or 3 years. So,
John,
your legitimate self-defense could be listed as 4 murders by the Violence
Exactly. John Lott is with the Violence Prevention Research Center, and I appreciate him coming on the program. John, thanks very much.